well there, Gina?
It's been a minute.
Yeah. It's been literally, I think, 60 minutes. Or maybe even 90 minutes.
Oh, you're talking about since the last time we saw each other.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about since the last time we recorded a podcast. I'm still sweating from the last time we saw each other.
That was a good workout, though. I liked it.
I did not like it. It was not, I was not good at it, so therefore I did not like it.
I did like it.
I liked the weightlifting part of it. That part was fun. And yeah. I wish that I had just left after that.
Because during the weightlifting thing, we did what? We did thrusters. We did power cleans. We did hang snatches.
Yeah, and just one of them at a time.
Yeah, one at a time.
I'm like, this is great. I can throw
four max.
I can throw some heavy stuff on here, do it once,
yep.
Be done. Yep. Wash my hands of it.
And then that was not the case for the actual workout.
No, it was not. And it's just like, anytime there are burpees involved, I just, I do not do well. Like, physically, I am not well. I think I got through one round of 10 burpees, and I was like, I think I might pass out. just 10 burpees. That's it.
It was burpees over bar, which means you have to go over the... It's not like half-assing jumping and barely leaving your toes. Nope. You actually have to step or jump over the bar. Like that's,
yeah. I was such a brat that I stepped over.
That's because you didn't want to go back to the lifting part.
Yeah. Well... No, I didn't want to do any of it. I didn't want to go back for any of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I have a lot of regrets about this workout.
If you think about it, though, you pretty much did one rep every 4 minutes, kind of put up the weight a little bit. So you did 4 minutes of one exercise, you did 4 minutes of another, and then 4 minutes of the third. But then when you get to the actual workout, the workout was the 10 thrusters, the 10 burpees over bar, the 10 power cleans, the 10 burpees back over bar. Then you're going back into hang power snatches, 10 of them. And then you're going back into burpees, and it's 5 minutes, and that's one round.
I know. You know, anyone who listens to this podcast who does not do CrossFit
has no idea what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
this was like a different language to them.
But I thought it was better to explain the workout than, you know, being like, oh, that workout sucked, and then not explaining why it sucked.
Do you need a reason? Like, do you have to explain why a workout sucked? Or can you just let it be sucky? Like, just let it live in that state of suckiness?
I don't know. I kind of like the whole pain aspect of it. Like, for me, it's an aggression. Like, I'm getting out things that I probably need to get out. So I take it out on the barbell, or I take it out on the floor when the floor is actually not going to bounce back or move.
Yeah, I think I like boxing for that reason.
That makes sense. Aren't they doing another boxing clinic?
I don't know.
They gotta be.
Did they post it on Instagram? Because if they did, I'm never gonna know about it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I'm really bad with the IG. I asked my friend the other day, he also does a podcast, and I was like, listen, I need to just pick your brain on how to market this podcast and how to really grow an audience. And he was like, well, listen, it really is just social. And I like interrupted him, and I was like, no, you know what? It's all right. I like our familial listeners. That's my mom texts me every week about it. And I think I'm satisfied with that.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Your dad mentioned it.
He did. Yeah. We were back up. Ashley and I were back up in Columbus this past weekend. And my dad was like, hey, that podcast is sounding pretty good. I'm surprised you get to talk that much. I was like, well, Dad, we did change formats. He goes, I know.
We have given Nick permission.
Yeah. I have Nikki J actually has permission to speak. Mm-hmm, it's been very nice. But he said he really liked the new structure. He thought the conversation was really good with the interviews, but no, he didn't want to sit there and listen for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And that's why we did the reformatting.
It is. I didn't want to sit there and listen for an hour and a half. So. Yeah. And I did every time, sometimes multiple times, so that I could make sure my notes to you were on point. So this
worked.
Saves everybody.
I like it.
A lot
of time. He liked
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Well, as long as we have Nikki J's dad's wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Nikki J's dad's. Well, yeah, approval. There we go. English was not our strong suit. Yeah. So that's...
Well, it's more, I'm just going to keep blaming on the workout, I think, until I like get a solid, I don't know, any amount of sleep in me. I'm just going to say it was the gym's fault.
It was the gym's fault. And we had a different coach.
And yeah, but she was dope.
She was. She was really, really badass. But man, she did not hesitate of getting in your face saying, hey, get down and start doing burpees. Or, hey, pick up that bar again.
So to be fair, when she said, raise your hand and make these promises.
You didn't raise your hand.
I did not raise my hand. No. Because I knew you warned me.
I did.
You gave me notification ahead of time that she was going to make us promise to drop down immediately and do burpees and get up immediately and pick up the bar. So when she said raise your hands, I was like, I ain't falling for that. I know what's coming. I'm not gonna do this.
Nope, I'll pass on that one.
I set my bar down gingerly, took a step back, dropped down into my burpee, and then everything was slow from then on. But it's all good. We made it.
Yes, we did.
We survived.
Yes. Yes, I still feel a little salty.
Yeah. Oh. Like, not mentally and emotionally salty, like, physically.
Both.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll just go with both for that one.
Okay, well, should we go ahead and jump into our icebreaker questions then?
Yep. I think it's your turn, right?
To pick first?
I think so.
What should I... don't know, it's been a while. Let's go with would you rather.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, upside down. Oh, you know what? This reminds me. I wanted to change an answer
from what?
From last time. We talked about would you rather be rich or would you rather be famous?
Yes.
And I think that I said I would rather be famous.
Yes.
And I don't actually think that that's true. I thought about it. I processed it some more. And I realized that, like, all of my friends joke about me that I'm the one part of, like, the member of our friend group who's just going to show up engaged and they're not even going to have known that I was in a relationship with anyone. And I'm like, I kind of like that level of mystery. And if I were famous, I would not have that. Everyone would know I was engaged before I knew I was engaged. So,
yes.
But I think for me, in my mind, fame equates to some level of excellency. Like, you're excellent. Like, if you're a famous athlete, it's because you're an excellent athlete. Like, you're an excellent ball player, like, you have kind of made it to the top of the ranks, you're the best of the best. Same with if you've been in a lot of movies or if you've put out a lot of albums or whatever. And so I've equated it to excellence, but I think I would rather, like, I kind of like that sneaky, like, play the ukulele? Why, yes I do. Like, I love surprising people. So I think I'd rather just, like, be rich, put a ton of money into, like, just pursuing hobbies. And then it's like a party trick. Like, you know, I'm just like, I don't know, out having cocktails with someone and someone challenges me to a chess match. I don't know where the context, like, where this would happen, but it could.
Yeah, you never know.
I don't want to say chess. That it would never happen. And then I'm like, a grandmaster, never going to happen. There's one story that it's a new... I'm hopping all over the place. Yep. Sorry. There was a new story. It didn't quite make the list this week, but it was about an 11-year-old chess champion, and he is striving to be the youngest grandmaster ever.
So, like, searching for Bobby Fischer? Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
You need to. Now that you're getting into chess, you need to watch it.
Okay.
What about Queen's Gambit?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. But is the Bobby Fischer one, is that like a documentary or is it?
Well, it's based off a true story.
Okay.
But it's an actual movie.
Okay. It's Ashley-ish.
Yes.
Ish. She says ish.
Okay.
It's one of her favorites.
My favorite movie of all time.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Learn something new every day. I'll add it to the list. anyways, he practices for like anywhere from 7 to 10 hours a day. And I'm like, yeah, no, if that's what it takes to be a grandmaster,
You're talking about years with putting much each day.
Yeah. He's 11 and has put in 7 to 10 hours a day into chess for, I mean, I don't know how many years. He's like a national champion already.
I was climbing trees and picking my nose.
We all have our things.
I was 11. I mean... When I was 11, that was nowhere.
Yeah, it definitely had different priorities. but
I was also starting to get into girls. Like, it was a whole thing.
Yeah. I wanted to revise my answer before we went any further. So I no longer would rather be famous. I would rather be rich so that I can be excellent in secret.
So you like this whole thing called privacy?
I do.
Yeah, me mm-hmm. too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I forgot about it when I was answering the question, and then I remembered.
Yeah.
Again.
I think I like hopped around the word privacy, and that's why I wanted to be rich. But I definitely chose rich and not famous.
I mean, you mentioned wanting your privacy because you were like, I want to win the lottery because I can maintain
secrecy.
Yeah.
Who owns that 90-acre ranch over there with goats, bees, bison?
It's probably Justin and Timberlake. Chickens.
No, it's Nick Elliott.
Oh, that's where you were going with yeah, that.
That's my goal.
Okay, this is our new would you rather question. Would you rather be gossiped about or never talked about at all?
Ooh. Honestly, I'm just at an age now. Go ahead and talk anything you want. Like I'm over it. I'm just at an age to where I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like a part of me wants to care. Like a part of me does care. I do know that. Like if somebody doesn't like me, I definitely have that. Well, why don't you like me? Like, why can't we be friends?
Do people ever actually get over that? Like you see all of these lists where it's like things to let go of in your 30s. And it's like what other people think about you. And I'm like, Trick, you still care. Like, you still are like, do they like me?
I do. But at the same time, to get rid of some of the stress and the anxiety that I put on myself, I'm starting to let go and be like, I don't need to worry about that. That's just stuff that I don't need to care about. Part of me does want to care about it, but it's one of those things where I'll care about it for 15 minutes and then I'll find a new piece of candy and then, well, there goes my attention span.
Yep. Did you know that our attention spans are actually, like our memories are actually
getting worse?
Shorter than goldfishes now.
Yeah.
Like, I think we have an attention span and short-term memory of like 6 minutes or something, and a goldfish is like 7 or 10. We are actually becoming more stupid compared to goldfish.
If a goldfish could talk.
And I almost said stupider there. Because, newsflash, it is a word.
It is a word. I know. We've already been through this.
I know. I looked it up, but I didn't want to have the conversation again, which we did anyways. But anyways, my answer, in keeping with to, you know, try to maintain some level of consistency, I guess I'm going to have to go with never talked about at all since I literally just said that I want privacy. So
yeah,
I think.
What if somebody has 18 views or like 18 different people are saying 18 different things? There's the mystery part. Well, which is it? Or is it any of them? You never know.
About me?
Yeah. I don't think anybody's talking 18 different things about you, but like if you are rich and you have all these hobbies and you kind of have your fingers in everything.
I feel like you're making me out to be like the Great Gatsby right now.
I'm trying.
I'm not mad about it, I don't think. If I were known for throwing the most lavish, amazing parties, I would be okay with that. Like, that would be a legacy that I would feel like was worth leaving for.
It could either be Robert Redford or Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, what's not to like?
It's true.
See?
Yeah. I think I still have to, just so no one calls me out, I'm going to have to say, never talked about it all.
I tried to get the Great Gatsby thing in there, and apparently it didn't.
I mean, you can still, you know,
we should do
make that comparison.
I should do that at the gym and be like, hey, JT, did you hear this thing about Gina? Hey, Trevor, did you hear the thing about Gina?
Oh my gosh.
Hey, Ross, did you hear the thing about Gina? But switch it up every time and create this mystery of Gina Medlin.
And they should all be contradictory to each other.
Yes. Oh, it has to be.
It has to be.
Well, Nick told me this. No, Nick told me that.
Which one is it?
Oh, no.
Okay, I like this plan.
See? I got you.
But I'm not changing my answer, but I'm giving you the freedom to do what you're going to do anyways. I'm going to let you just live your life. And if I happen to be a mystery involved in it, then so be it. That's my portion.
I like it. You're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance. Yep. All right. Pick your card.
All right. So what are the other once again?
I don't know. Yellow, gray, and green.
We literally go through this every week. Now, isn't this like an actual game?
It's not like a game. It's just a deck of cards for icebreaker questions. Like, I don't think okay. that you, like, win anything if you answer the question.
But, like, if you're having a dinner party, maybe this is something you kind of pass around, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Well,
especially if all of your dinner guests are completely unfamiliar with one another and you have to create conversation.
I have gym friends. I have music friends.
Have you tried to mix friend groups in your 30s?
Yeah.
It's tough.
It actually works.
Did you have the list of icebreaker questions?
No, we just kind of all drank and it just kind of happened.
Oh, well, I think that's the alternative. It's like, okay, dinner with like a deck of cards that are specific talking points or booze. Those are the two options.
I mean, that's pretty much why I get along, I think, so well with Ashley's family. Because the first time I met them all, we were all drinking for her brother's 40th. The next thing I know, I'm in family pictures on the wall.
There. In all white. On the beach. In khakis.
No. Khakis. Hey, I would wear the crap out of some khakis. Coach Harbaugh, I'm telling you. Michigan, go blue.
This is a side note. We have not talked about the Packers-Bengals game.
Oh, it's the Lions-Bengals this weekend.
Can I just say, that was the most annoying football game I have ever watched.
That many missed field goals?
Five missed. You know the last time that happened? Never. 1990. 30 years ago. And it was not even that many. I think it was like three or four.
And Crosby's pretty on point.
Yeah.
Like, for him to miss that many, like, it was weird. Like, it was weird.
Even in the rest of the games, though, we were listening to games on the way home. There were missed field goals in almost every game.
I texted my friend who is from Green Bay, and I was just like, what the hell is going on in this game? And she's like, there has to be some sort of witchcraft going on the field right now because nothing else makes sense.
Yeah. No, it was insane. That's the most I think I've ever seen her react to a football game.
It was so annoying. Okay, side note. Nick, pick your card, please.
Oh, yeah, before I do one. Mm-hmm. Yellow, gray, or green? Let's go gray. Okay. No, I don't like this one.
Okay. Nope. You can throw it out, but I want to see it.
Okay. And then I'm going to pick a different color. Oh, nope, yeah, I don't like that one either.
Nick.
What?
Oh, yeah, that one's kind of weird, too.
Yeah. We've kind of touched on this, but I'm going to make you pick.
Okay.
Okay? If you could have any celebrity be your best friend, who would you pick? Because you've kind of touched with your love of Beyonce. You kind of have all the same birthday picture that you photoshopped.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we were all at a wedding together.
Yeah, exactly.
When you are at a wedding with all of your celebrity birthday twins, you take a picture. Let's see. Yeah, you know, I go through seasons. I think it just kind of depends on what I'm watching the most or listening to the most. Let's see. Do you know? Do you already know yours?
Well, so Ashley just walked over and read the card because she's sitting on a chair away from our table, which I told her to come closer, and she said no. But that's beyond the fact.
You got to let her live.
Yeah, I'm gonna let her do her thing. But I have a feeling I know what hers is, and I'm gonna say it's Kevin Costner. What? What do you mean no?
Wow.
Who would it be?
Jennifer Lawrence.
That's a good choice.
That is a solid choice.
Sounds like you guys need to have some deeper conversations. Okay. Do you want to take this deck of cards home with you?
But Kevin Costner was a solid guess though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. She loves Kevin. We're seeing Kevin Costner in like 2 weeks.
Oh, at the Ryman?
Yeah.
My mom wanted to go to that show.
See? Her mom.
I could have gone with your mom.
Oh yeah. No, she's great. You would have had a great time.
Is she coming in?
She can turn up. No. No, you know, I think it's hard to get mom to turn up on a weekday, but like if it were Friday or Saturday, mama can turn up.
It is a Wednesday.
Oh, I thought it was Tuesday for some reason.
It's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday? Well, then what are we doing Wednesday?
Nate Bargatze.
Wow, you guys are so active.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Have you picked somebody?
I think I might go with Kobe Smulders. She just seems like she would be a lot of fun, and she's Canadian, so she'd be super nice. So yeah, I think Kobe Smulders' final answer.
Okay, I like it. That's pretty solid.
Thank you.
I think I'm gonna go Paul Rudd. I think we'd hit it off pretty well. We'd have a laugh. There'd probably be a lot of laughing.
That'd be a great choice until you started to age and he still didn't. And people would be like, wow, who's like the old one in this friendship? And Paul's like 80 and still looks like he's 20 and you're 60 and look like you're 100. I'm not saying you're going to age like, you know,
I don't think that's significantly,
but like,
I'm not going to age that.
It's Paul Rudd. So like compared to him, everyone ages significantly. Yep.
Who would be your second? Just out of curiosity.
Second choice.
Jennifer Lawrence?
No. I think she's a little too sassy for me. I think we just like...
I think she's just so normal.
Or is that what she wants you to think?
Dum, dum, dum. It's the mystery behind her.
Gosh, I don't know. You go first. I feel like this is all awkward pause that I'm going to have to tell you to.
I think I'm going
to
stay in the Marvel realm.
Okay.
And probably go Chris Pratt.
Wow. I think that there are a lot of people out there who would disagree with you on that decision.
Why?
I don't know. Honestly, for some reason, Chris Pratt.
People like him?
Well, he is obviously, according to the rest of the world, the least desirable Chris that one could choose.
Well, I mean, if you... Wait.
To be fair, they, like, put him up against, like...
Chris Evans. That's not fair.
Chris...
Hemsworth.
Probably. And then there's another Chris.
If you're talking about, like, sex appeal, I mean, yes. He's... Sorry. The bottom of the barrel of that one.
Well, good thing I'm not looking for sex appeal.
Well... No, I'm kidding. You're not.
Yeah, I'm just going to have him around me just so all my friends can gawk.
Well, that wouldn't be fun for you.
No, it probably wouldn't be. Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. I don't know if I have a second.
All right. Well, then let's just move on.
A clone of Kobe Smulders.
Cloning.
Yeah.
It's all about cloning.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is another side note, but I went down a rabbit hole today about, it's like Raelism. Have you heard this? The UFO religion? Oh, y'all, it is fascinating. I was supposed to be working, but I was reading Raelism articles for like an hour or two.
Huh.
It crazy. Anyways, they're super into cloning. That's how I got on to that topic. And now we're going to go to We Google That for You.
Oh, cue that music.
Okay, so on the last podcast, we had the question about what exactly is aquaculture, because you were asking if your friend's, like, dope-ass
saltwater
aquarium
fish tank
setup was technically aquaculture.
Yeah.
So I looked up the definition, according to Google. The term aquaculture broadly refers to the cultivation of aquatic organisms in controlled aquatic environments for any commercial, recreational, or public purpose. So, according to that definition,
yes,
your friend is engaging in aquaculture and thereby is a fishery.
Oh, that's pretty badass.
I know.
Yeah, he's got all the, you know, Finding Nemo characters all in there.
Inside his
fish tank.
That's how he built out his aquarium was, well, I mean, what are the fish that
there's
are
there's exotic. There's other Nemo fish in there, but he does have a couple clownfish. He has, you know.
With, like, working fins or...
Yes, they have working fins and they just sit there, you know? Just hang out.
Cool. All right. This next one, what defines a country? Because I had never actually thought about that question before. Right? I mean, had you? Have you ever sat down and been like, I wonder what, like, how a country becomes a country?
Well, I know how America became a country. But I didn't think about, like, what makes a country.
Right. Like, what is the definition of a country?
And, yeah.
So, this is, I don't think there's actually, like, a concrete definition, but the one that I'm using, it's the Montevideo Convention on the rights and duties of states, which I think it was created so that the United States could enter relations with another country. I can't remember which one it was, but it was specifically for like states. However, I think that it's a good definition and we're going to use it because I could not find another concrete example. So okay. this is what Article 1 of the Montevideo Convention says. A state should possess four qualifications: a permanent population, a defined territory, government, and the capacity to enter relations with other states.
One more time.
Okay. A permanent population, a defined territory, government, and the capacity to enter relations with other states. So
it's people, like an all-inclusive.
People, land, government, interrelations.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much everything we said last week, just in an overall more broad term.
Yeah, I think we kind of just hung out around, like, there's got to be some sort of government.
Yeah. I don't think we talked about people at all.
Like, because with our definition, I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to just create some laws for Antarctica. And then, boom.
We're just going to go plant the happiest hour flag on Antarctica.
Yeah. Throw a coaster over there.
Yeah. There you go.
With the laws just written on the back of the coaster. I mean, I like it. I'm in. Okay. This next one. This one's actually a popular Google question. This is not just Nick and Gina curiosity. What does time is of the essence mean?
Don't you have to be a little bit more quick on time? Like, you only have an X amount of time, so time is of the essence. You got to be quick. You have to move with a purpose.
Yeah. I think we generally use it in, like, a very vague context. Like, hey, time is of the essence. Pick it up. Speed it up. Let's get this done. However, it was created as a legal term. So it's technically a clause. It's a legal phrase used to specify the time period in which one party must complete its contractual obligations to the other party. And if there is a failure to meet the deadline set in the contract's time is of the essence clause, it's a breach of contract.
Oh.
So I guess, like, I mean, any contract. I don't think that it was specific to any one industry or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it's like a legal clause in a contract. I had no idea.
Yeah. I had no idea it was in a contract.
No. You know what? I'm going to be real, real. I don't know if I've ever looked at any contracts close enough to see if there was a time is of the essence clause.
There's also that.
Yeah.
I mean, with every agreement that I have to do now for buying concert tickets, for buying anything, you have to, you know, accept the terms and agreements. If you had to sit down and read every terms and agreement, there, you wouldn't have a life.
Yeah.
And you would never buy anything.
I don't know if there's a time is of the essence clause in, like, buying concert tickets, but I'm thinking, like, you know, when I bought my home.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Did not read the whole thing. Sorry, Mom. I still have it somewhere in my, like, important documents folder.
Yeah. I still have all my stuff.
Maybe I'll look and see if there was a time is of the essence clause. But, you know, I'm so impulsive that I like, bought it within 24 hours. I was just like, yeah, I think I want this.
Yeah, you wonder when those clauses are necessary.
Yeah.
Because, like, for the house, yeah, I signed within, like, days.
Yeah.
It's like essence wasn't a thing. Like, it was all
right. Right. I don't know. I think that we need to do some more research into this.
Oh, boy.
This opened up just so many more opportunities to learn. And I'm so excited.
I can't wait.
Okay, this last question. How many seconds are in a day? This is just math, but, you know, who wants to do that?
Yeah, no. Let's see. Let's see if I can do this.
Oh, you're going to do the math.
So there's 60 seconds in 1 minute, and there's 60 minutes in 1 hour. So that means 60 and 60, that's 120. And that's for one. Nope, that's wrong. I'm already off on the wrong foot. It'd be 1,200 an hour, right? And then you would have to multiply that.
No. 6 plus 6 would be 1,200, but 6 times 6.
360, or 36.
It's 3,600 seconds in.
An hour.
Yeah.
And then you have to multiply that by 24. Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
It's 86,400. And you know the nerve of me? I like Googled this, and then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do the math to make sure that Google's right.
Just to make sure the internet is not completely broken.
Who am I to be like, you know what? I'm going to catch Google in a mistake. And then I'm going to be able to submit it via contact form.
Excuse me, guys. I think your math is wrong.
I'd probably have to tweet at them because there's no way to like reach Google customer service. It's impossible.
Does Google even have... I mean, Google obviously has a Twitter. But what the heck do you post if you're... Well, I guess you're Google. You pretty much have your hands in everything.
Oh, so. Well, if I were them, I'd be like spilling all of the secrets that I know because I'm Google. Be like, did you know that...
No, because that's our segment.
Russia did this.
Oh, okay. Well, no, we don't have that in our segment. But like,
no, we don't.
We Google that for you. I don't want them to do that with everybody. Yeah, hey, did you know that... I don't. Yeah, no. That's
no one's following Google on Twitter or Instagram. It's not like they put out great content. It's just like they're just a tool.
It's an entity.
Yeah, a big one that literally knows everything, including how many seconds are in a day. They were not wrong.
And they do the math right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the biggest part about it. They do the math right.
Yeah, the nerve of me. All right, you want to move on to good news?
Oh, we're there already.
We are there already. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so this first story is from the Washington Post, and it kind of keeps with our one of the themes that we talked about last week in terms of rehabilitation in our prison systems.
Yeah.
So the title of this article, 4 hours each day, not 4 hours, not like
just
not the number F-O-R. 4 hours.
Yeah.
It's just 4 hours each day. These prison inmates make personalized quilts for children in foster care. So in Texas County, Missouri, which is very confusing. I never understood why states decide to do that.
I don't. Don't ask me. It's their government.
Yeah, it is. Anyways, Texas County, Missouri, they partner. I don't think they technically partner. Anyways, this prison system has all of these inmates making quilts for both like foster care children when it's like their birthday or something like that. It's like, you know, personalized. It's nice. They have their name. They have their birthday. Yeah. They're able to make it special for them.
That's cool.
But they also make quilts that they're able to auction off for local charitable organizations.
Oh.
Yeah. So, one of the inmates said, I learned quickly that women who have sewn all their lives are mathematical geniuses. It takes a lot of math to calculate your seam allowances and the angles and circles. That's a lot. There's a lot that goes into it. Never knew.
No, that's way above my pay grade.
I do feel like it would be good for me to do something with my hands, you know, well, besides you just like my fidget cube.
Well, like you can...
Crochet,
yeah.
I know.
I think my mom started to crochet.
I feel like that would be a great mindless thing to do as I'm like watching TV or something so that I'm not like picking at my cuticles or my calluses.
Yeah. That's the worst one. I just pick at my calluses all the time. It's bad.
It's also embarrassing because I do it in like church. Like on Sunday, I'm like looking super cute and sitting with all of my friends and I'm picking my calluses and that stuff does not hide on a black dress. Like literally I just have this like white scaly just like pile in my lap and all my friends are just like what is she doing, and like every 5 minutes I would just brush it all off onto the floor. I'm like, this is embarrassing. I've got to find something else to do. I also forgot my fidget cube that day at church. I need to have multiple fidget cubes so that it's just with me wherever I go.
One in your car, like one in your gym bag.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly like ChapStick. Brilliant. Okay. Anyways, back to the quilts. I just thought this was really cool because I think it goes to... It benefits the inmates' like mental health too. Like it gives them a purpose again. And like one guy said that he loved that he was able to do something beautiful and like create beautiful things while he was serving his sentence.
Yeah, it's so cool to kind of give them another tool again. Like I don't know how often they're going to get out and go. So, but at least while they're in it, like you just said, it kind of gives them that purpose and that reason to just kind of do something really cool for somebody else.
However, I will push back a little bit because there's one guy who I think he owned an upholstery business before he went to prison. And so now he's just like, yeah, this is what I did before I went to jail.
Might as well keep doing it.
Yeah, this is what I'm doing while I'm in jail. And he was just like, yeah, this is like what I'm passionate about. And I remembered that now that I have the opportunity to be able to do this while I'm serving my sentence.
I keep coming back to the thought of Happy Gilmore when he's in the nursing home and Ben Stiller is doing all the knit, like they're all, I think they're knitting, right? No, they're sewing. They're sewing, and one of the grandmas looks and she goes, "Oh no, my fingers hurt." And Ben Stiller comes up and he goes, "Oh, well, that's nice. Except now you just pulled landscaping duty. Like, can you imagine just pushing up? Oh no, he hurt his hand. Now you have to go use a shovel."
Use a shovel, yeah. Was she in a wheelchair? That would have made it even better.
Oh, I don't remember.
I am not gonna lie. It's been years since I have seen Happy Gilmore.
It's actually going to be my Halloween costume.
Really?
Happy Gilmore's caddy. I'm going to put on a Subway hat, and I'm going to get like a white painter's outfit and put Gilmore on the back and just carry around a bag of Ritz crackers because that's what he uses for the ball marker on the greens.
What are y'all doing for Halloween?
I guess we do. Ashley's just going to be my DD because it's on a Monday night, and it's like an industry one from a couple bartenders that I know from downtown, and they have a farm. And it's like this twin sisters and this other girl, and they're putting on this like 400 person Halloween party on a farm to where you can camp if you want to camp. And like they're making it a full night. Wow. Granted, we're not doing a full night. Absolutely not.
It's a school night. It
is a school night. Well, not for me. Well, I don't know. My schedule's all screwed up right now.
Yeah, you go to night school. It's a little.
I can wake up at 2 and still have a couple hours before I actually have to go in.
Well, me and my friends, we started last year, and I love tradition, so I'm like hell-bent on making it the new annual thing. We just go to a cabin Halloween weekend, so don't even have to like worry about making plans or anything like that. And That's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it's fun, but we just make so many plans. And I'm like, they've got to be fun. Every single one of them have to be like the night of our life. That's a lot of pressure, you know? So I like having just one holiday where we don't have to do something amazing. And also it's kind of crazy. Like the people are crazy. Just like the situations you find yourself in.
I mean, you're not wrong.
One time. In college.
That's how you know it's going to be a good one. In college.
Me and my friend Nancy, we were just told to be ready at a certain time. Like some of our friends were going to come pick us up and we were going to do some Halloween festivity. Had no idea what it was. Turns out it was playing sardines in the old National Cemetery in the old city in Knoxville. And so we like, you know, we get into the cemetery. You guys know what sardines is. It's like hide and seek, but one person hides and everyone goes and finds that one person.
And then they have to hide with that person until the last person finds them.
Yes. So our sardine, he went and hid.
In a cemetery.
Honestly, don't even know who
by himself.
Don't even know who our sardine was or if he made it out of there. He could still be there. No idea. But we like, so he went and hid, you know, me and Nancy were like with another friend and we're walking in the lit sidewalk and all of a sudden we hear like heavy breathing and running behind us and we turn around and it's another one of our friends and he doesn't say anything except for guys, just run. And I was like, I need more information, sir. So I like look behind me and there is a guy in a Halloween, like Michael Myers outfit, walking towards us. And so I'm like, that's sketchy, but like we all know Michael just walks. So I'm like jogging out, you know.
But he keeps up with people that are running.
It's amazing. It is one of the greatest mysteries.
The cardio endurance on that Mike Myers guy.
No, he is like an Olympic speed walker. So I'm like, you know, just casually jogging, and then I look over my shoulder, and he is sprinting after us, and I'm like a bat out of hell. I don't even know what that means, but that was me. And he just like didn't follow us out of the cemetery. I'm pretty sure that like the cemetery hired him to scare shitheads like us.
What if he was your sardine?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that'd be so bad.
I know. We left. We would have never found him.
He hit a bag and he knew that he was going to be the sardine or try to talk himself into being the sardine.
Yeah.
And then change.
That's honestly a brilliant plan.
That is brilliant.
Yeah. But we heard a woman scream. And I'm like, Lord, please let that just be part of this act, because none of us did anything about it.
Yikes.
Yeah, y'all. Do not play sardines in a cemetery on Halloween.
I wouldn't be caught dead in a cemetery on Halloween.
Yep. So now I go to the cabin over Halloween weekend.
And there's like fires and socks.
And we sit in the hot tub and drink wine.
You ever seen Cabin in the Woods?
Yeah, but that's like a horror comedy, you know. It's fine. It'll be fine.
Ashley, don't ruin this.
It's fine. Okay. Next story. Are we ready to move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this one is it's a technology company out of Lithuania. They have created a climate-friendly tractor. And I feel like I need to clarify that it's not the first climate-friendly tractor, because there are other... They use it's like a hybrid, like biomethane fuel and then like electric. But there are other biomethane tractors, but they only run for 2 to 4 hours. So this company made the first tractor that is able to run for like up to 12 hours. So,
okay.
You know, farmers and the agricultural industry can use these green tractors. Which the agricultural industry, we kind of touched on this before we started recording, is like one of, I think it's, it is the cause of at least 1/3 of carbon emissions. So it's like a really big factor in climate change.
Yeah, it's livestock based. Even though the whole biomethane thing, that's straight out of Back to the Future.
I do think that it's not just... livestock. Like, I think it's also tractors are being used to, you know, irrigate fields and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So definitely cattle and like livestock and all of that is a big part of it too, but also just using like regular fuel powered tractors is a big, and you know, all of the heavy machinery used to like make meat. I don't really know how it works. I've never tried. I think I would start crying if I watched them just like butcher cattle. But
I still have a good burger every now and then. I'll admit it. I still eat beef.
We had cows when I was young. I named all of them. Did not know that they were like, you know, being led to their demises.
Circle of life.
They were really creative names too. Like, you know, brown. Spots.
Listen, so it wasn't like Betty or...
It wasn't what?
Betty.
I wish. However, I thought you said Fetty, and I was like, oh, that would... that would be great. Oh.
So wait, back to the tractor. Okay,
I keep derailing it.
So
I think I'm really tired.
The tractors, blame the gym. Yeah, but we're just blaming the gym.
It's all the gym's fault.
Blame the gym. So Back to the Future had it to where... Doc flies out of the sky, lands, puts pop cans, puts banana peels, and it turns it into the methane that causes the engine to go.
Yep.
But I'm guessing they're not using... Are they using trash?
Hold, please.
Standing by.
I'll report back. Okay, so... methane, and we've talked about this, so do you remember the story? I think it might have been in like France where they were recycling all of these oranges because
Spain.
Oh, it was.
It was Spain.
Good call. Good memory, Nikki J.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm impressed. So they were like recycling all of these oranges because it contributes to methane gas being released. So it is a lot of, like, it's in food. But they said here that the methane was collected from livestock waste and converted to biomethane. And the biomethane actually offsets more emissions per unit of energy in its production and use cycle than it emits. So I don't know, like, what the actual process is of, like, converting methane to biomethane.
So methane's bad and biomethane's okay?
It's better.
Yes. I still don't necessarily think that methane is, like, as bad as, like...
Well, I mean, I know that we can't inhale methane. Like, tons of methane is going to kill humans.
Yes, but, like, if I'm sitting in a pile of oranges, I'm not just going to
decomposing oranges.
That, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But, yeah, it's better. It's better than methane. And so this tractor uses biomethane fuel plus electric, and it can run for up to 12 hours, which is, I think, is pretty dope.
I think they should put solar panels on the top of it, too. Kind of another way of getting electricity to charge everything.
Yeah, maybe they do. I don't know. This doesn't
specify.
It does not specify how it is charged.
Huh. Still pretty cool, though.
But, yeah, they basically are just able to, this tractor is able to accommodate larger biomethane gas cylinders. So a lot of the tractors that have already been created, they can only run for 2 to 4 hours because apparently, I don't know how big a biomethane gas cylinder is, but the other tractors are just, they're smaller cylinders. So this design allows them to have more and bigger cylinders and run for longer.
I wonder if it's anything like driving Ashley's 4-cylinder compared to my 8-cylinder. Because, like, you get in her car, don't step on the gas because it goes and doesn't like it. And it actually takes slower to speed up. But my truck, man, you hit that gas on that V8, you're gone.
Does a hybrid have... What?
Well, you were just talking about cylinders. I don't know. I was just trying to make a connection in something that I kind of knew something about.
No, I'm talking about my RAV4. I'm like, I don't even... Also, a very impulsive purchase, y'all. I went in for an oil change and came back out with a new car. So, like, I'm like, do I have cylinders? Like, I don't even know.
Actually, your RAV4 probably has a 4 or 6 because it still takes gas,
probably,
right?
Probably 4, yeah.
Yeah. So, the fact that your car takes gas and needs cylinders to operate.
Yep. I guess that is how a car works. I haven't quite gotten to that one yet.
I don't think the RAV4, the 4 in the name, is how many cylinders it has.
No, it's
not. I don't
think
that's how that works.
No,
I think that's just the design.
Yeah, I bet it's 4 cylinders. I bet it doesn't have any more than that. Remember when we had to jump your battery?
It worked.
Well, and we had no idea where the battery was.
It's in her trunk.
Yeah.
It was weird. We had to look it up. It was odd.
I think it was like week one of having the... Well, I don't know. It's not like I would have known anyways if I'd had the car longer.
But now you know.
I like had to like open up like, you know...
The manual?
The actual manual.
Yeah, peel off the like the packaging of my manual.
There was styrofoam like packed in around
so
it.
So that I could figure out where the battery was. And then I was just like... Hope this works. Hope this has enough power to help your big-ass truck.
It did. Oddly enough, it did.
Okay, so green tractors.
That's pretty cool.
Reminds me of Luke Bryan. Right?
No, maybe. Big green tractor was
Jason
Aldean.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry. That was high school. That was like...
And then Kenny thinks that the tractor makes him sexy. She thinks my track.
Yep. Yeah. Nope. Yeah. I got it. Yeah.
Just want to make sure. Just make sure we're on the same page. No.
But I do appreciate the preview. Yeah. Okay. This next story is out of Mississippi. I know I talk about myself crying a lot during these good news stories.
Well, it's good news.
I know. It's all good tears.
Heartstrings.
It definitely happened during this story. This one got me. The title of this story, the homecoming queen gave away her crown to comfort a grieving family and set an example for us all. mind you, she's, you know, 17, 18 years old. This always happens. What are we doing with our lives?
17, 18 years old. Ever since week one, literally 17-year-olds have just been doing great things. And
clearly, she did not want to live her life in privacy. This is what happens. If you do good stuff, you don't have privacy anymore. So, you know, our generation just knows that. So we don't do anything.
If they find out it's you.
Unless she was like in like, I don't know, a weird, I don't know, a face to head to toe costume that completely hid her identity. And she was being like projected in. What is that called?
Why am I hologrammed?
Yeah.
She was a hologram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was in a costume. They're going to know who it is. You know, you've been at homecoming. I know it's been a minute, but we were there.
It's been like 5 minutes.
Anyways, so Brittany Walters, she is a student at Forest County Agricultural High School. And her mom, AJ Walters, she was an administrator there, and she recently passed away from cancer. But before she passed away, Brittany made a promise to her saying that she would go to homecoming. Like, she didn't want her daughter to miss out on seminal high school experiences just because she was going to be grieving. So her and her dad went. I think that they were probably very sad. Her dad was in a cowboy hat. It's very cute. And she didn't win, but Nyla Covington, who did win, basically after she won, she asked the administrators who were on the field. She was like, can I go give this crown to Brittany? Can I do this? And they let her, and she just walked over, put the crown on her head, and gave her a big old hug. See, how could you not cry hearing that or reading that story?
I don't know. I'm just kind of over here trying to compose myself to make sure I don't cry on microphone.
Mm. No judgment.
No, that's really, really cool. It kind of makes you think that there is hope, because you hear bullying's a big thing now, especially cyberbullying.
Yeah.
But to hear something about that is just reassuring that, yeah, you know what? Maybe there are some good people still in this world, yeah, and the kids are being brought up well to where, I mean, they are the future. I mean, hell, me and you, we're in our 30s.
We're old. You know, I'm technically just 30, so I can't say that I'm like in my 30s yet. But I, you know what? I get what you're saying. I understand the message and the theme behind it. I just need to put it out there.
Hey, look, wine.
Yeah, you know, I thought that this was really cool, because my mind went to when any one of us succeeds or gets to celebrate something, that really should be something that we're sharing with others, right? Like, I know that this is really big in, you know, if you're trying to work your way up in the film industry and you just have like your little film school peeps or all of your contacts that you made terrible short films with until you made something that you were truly proud of and, you know, it did really well and now you have all of this amazing work. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, wow, like I need to remember like the people who helped me get here. And so it's kind of like that, but even on a deeper level, it's just like, yeah, if anything good happens to us, that really is something that should be shared. It's not something that's like, we should just hold for ourselves, mm-hmm, and keep it in, you know, it should be something that we're able to gift to other people and bring everyone around us up with us.
Yeah. I like that too.
Don't be mad at me for that.
No, you're fine.
It was an accident.
You're fine.
Okay. So I saw, even when Some Good News posted this on their Instagram the other day, and I still cried. I was like, I've read this story 3 times. I thought I got all of my tears out. I didn't.
Nope. Still a couple deep down.
I really liked what Nyla Covington told CNN when they were interviewing her about this for this article. She said, I just felt like it was something that was put on my heart. It was really just for her to bring her up her day a little bit, and she'd rather have her mom than a crown, but the point was I was telling her that she was her mom's queen, and I was just letting her know that she was loved by many, and especially me.
That's cool. That's cool.
I'm going to move on before I start crying again. But yep.
Let's keep going.
Yeah. They're...
Composure. Composure. Composure.
Hey, you know what? I'm doing okay.
No, that's for me.
Okay. Yeah. Keep yourself together, Nick. All right. This next story. You know what? I just realized a lot of these stories, except for like Lithuania, was just like in the south or in our region-ish.
In our neck of the woods.
Yeah. That was not intentional. This next story... It is the biggest greenhouse in the U.S., and it is in Morehouse, Kentucky, like in the Appalachian Mountains, and it is an AI-powered indoor farm.
We were out to dinner with Ashley's parents, and her dad brought this up, and he said that a guy that he knows has been talking about it and wants to get in on it. And if you think about it, I mean, granted, there's a lot of... people in this country that probably don't like it because that's what they do. They are farmers. Mm-hmm. And taking AI and sticking in that is probably going to take jobs away. It's going to take, I mean, what else do you know if you're the fifth, sixth generation farmer?
True.
But still, the fact that the crops are very well maintained, it's the straight UV light that's helping them grow. It's, they're getting trimmed at the proper time and it's not mass cropping.
Yeah. It's something that I really thought was really interesting with this story is how individual the care for the crops that they were growing were. Like, they know, based on the technology, which specific crops need which nutrients and how much water and when. And I was like, that's super cool. Instead of just, you know, blanketing an entire field in water and the same nutrients, they're like, no, I know because of technology – that this one tomato needs, like, I don't know.
A little bit more.
I've never grown a tomato, so I don't know what I'm about to say. Like, I don't know how accurate this is, but I'm like, it needs another half an inch of water.
Yeah. Maybe that's all it takes to get it to, you know, up to the proper level. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm definitely not a farmer, but.
Well, and if you think about it, this is not something that's, like, going to be taking away the act of farming completely. Not anytime soon. I mean,
oh, yeah, not anytime soon.
I mean, not any time that this generation of farmers is still farming. But I think it's really cool to think about, like, oh, yeah, this is, I mean, this is probably also Back to the Future stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, anything that happened in the Jetsons is happening right now, except for, like, flying vehicles, which I'm still mad about.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But, I mean, Ashley even brought up the good point earlier about how, well, are they, how'd you put it?
Well, because it's in, like, the greenhouse or whatever, it's not being, there's no, like,
pesticides.
They're not spraying
it with GMOs and, like, all that stuff. So, like, could technically these plants be considered organic, which is a rising move in this country.
And it should be a rising move.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, we were in Jackson and we saw, there was one right across the street from our hotel. And they had the shutters open or they had the shutters closed, so it had actual UV light, but you could tell that there were UV lights also in there. And I think it's so cool.
Yeah. So there are some, like, stats in here, like, data that I think is really interesting in this story that I'm just going to read. So this greenhouse, this AI-operated greenhouse, is able to grow up to 45 million pounds of tomatoes per year. So, and then... more data. The global population is headed toward 10 billion people by 2050, and the UN predicts that we will need to produce 70% more food to feed them. And Jonathan Webb, he's the founder and CEO of this specific greenhouse. He thinks that AI-powered greenhouses are the solution. So he was like, we have to figure out how to grow more food, a lot more food, with a lot less resources, all the while taking care of the environment. Like, that's a big ask. And so he was like, why not use technology? Like, we can use technology to help do this. And this specific greenhouse, it was built across 60 acres. It can yield 30 times more per acre than open fields using 90% less water. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
And they have cool robotic arms trimming tomatoes whenever they're fully ripe, like perfectly ripe. Probably.
And if you think about it too, like, you can probably grow more. Think about, like, spinach. Spinach doesn't grow tall. Mm-hmm. So if you can think about how, like, on top of each other in different trays, that you can grow more food up instead of out. I mean,
and there are a lot of greenhouses already doing that. Like, there are a lot of urban greenhouses that figured that out. They were like, okay, if we just go taller and we you know, grow these crops vertically, we can save space all while,
yeah,
you know, creating urban gardens, food, like healthy food, mm-hmm. and, you know, vegetables for people in urban places, not taking up a lot of room or resources.
And then if you think about the whole farm to table thing that's also happening with some of the higher end restaurants, that's going to be more readily available to more people. So you're not only getting, you know, lettuce that has probably been chopped 2 weeks ago and was shipped in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're actually getting close to farm to, well, farm, quote unquote farm to table, probably the same day.
Yeah. And that was something that they said. They're like, we're building these and supplying neighborhoods that are close by so that it does, it provides that like locally sourced.
Imagine if every neighborhood could have one.
Yeah. Dope.
That's here's so cool.
Some more data, just because, I don't know, I'm on a data roll. Global food production, and we kind of already touched on this with the tractor story, but global food production currently accounts for a third of greenhouse gases, 80% of deforestation, 70% of terrestrial biodiversity loss, and 70% of all freshwater use. So imagine being able to use AI to cut down all of that.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
I mean, granted, it would take a long time to get rid of it.
Sure.
But at the same time, I just love how we're kind of letting the planet almost, we're getting smart enough to where we can let the planet start to heal itself. Kind of like how I've heard a body with smokers, it takes 20 years of not smoking for your body to actually get back to a stasis that it was before you started smoking. I mean, granted, 20 years is a very long time, but the body is healing itself in a way. I mean, the planet does the same thing. I mean, that's why we have ice ages. That's why we have hotter summers. Like, it goes through phases. The Earth goes through phases. But the fact that we're able to kind of help in making the Earth go back to its initial phases and not completely worsen the problem is so cool.
Yeah, and I don't even know if it's, like, initial phase. I read it, or I saw an article. I did not actually read it, but it talked about how scientists are theorizing that the Earth also used to be too hot to inhabit, which I thought was interesting.
Well, I mean, it's the formation of a planet.
Yeah.
At one point or another, there was no planet, and it had to go through an initial convergence.
I don't know. I don't know how this part of science works.
But, I mean, the planet at one point did have to be too hot to be anything to grow. But then after a while, it cooled. It got into the rotation around the sun to where we were within that homeostasis like area away from the sun, that it wasn't too hot, it wasn't too cold, and that thing started to grow. I mean, that's what I would imagine from watching Interstellar 15,000 times.
I mean, the movies have it all right.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan, I tell you what.
I know. Christopher Nolan thinks a little bit harder than the rest of the population combined.
Yes.
Except for maybe our new future chess grandmaster, who's going to be 11 when he does it.
He's going to be 13 by the time it happens, but still.
Bobby Fischer was 15 when he became grandmaster.
So the current youngest grandmaster, I feel like such a nerd. The current youngest grandmaster is 12. So
12?
Yes. So, this little boy is like, man, I got to kind of do it this year because he's running out of time. So, he's on his way.
12.
Yeah.
12?
Yes. Again, we had very different priorities when we were children, but listen.
There's a little bit of wine left from this bottle. I'm just going to go ahead and finish it.
I am very impressed.
12?
With him. Yeah, he's 12. I can't remember his name, but still very impressed with him. We'll end on the high notes of all of these great stories and technology and
we're moving
homecoming
up.
Queens.
Yeah.
And all of the above. So thanks so much for joining us tonight. We loved being here with you.
Yeah. Cheers, guys.
that usually how we start fact check?
I don't know. It's been a while since we've done a fact check.
It's been so long since we've done fact checks. I don't even know if that's how we originally did it.
But we have heard that this is some people's favorite segment.
That's what I was going to say. I feel kind of bad that we haven't been including it. But since we've been going to this every other week situation, it's just harder to record the fact check because, you know, we're just not recording as much.
Yeah.
But there was a lot last week that I think that it deserves to be
clarified. Yes.
And checked because it's not that we necessarily miscommunicated everything. I definitely did. But not everything. But also some things just need to be clarified. And we can do a better job of shedding light on some of the things that we talked about.
All right. Well, what's the first one you got?
First one. We talked about attention spans.
We did.
Humans versus goldfish. And I was super optimistic and said that we had attention spans worth minutes.
Yes. It's not minutes?
It's not minutes. It is seconds.
It's way worse.
So in 2000, humans had an attention span of about 12 seconds. Now we have an attention span of about 8 seconds. Goldfish have attention spans of about 9 seconds. So I was right in saying that we have attention spans less than goldfish, which, I mean,
that was the entire premise of it.
Frankly, I think we were maybe talking about memory, but I don't know that it's necessarily that far off from each other. Like, if we can't, like, recall what we were focusing on for longer than a goldfish, then we probably can't have better memories than a goldfish. You know what I'm saying? Kind of.
Wait,
maybe
what?
A little bit. Anyways, we're talking about attention spans. Humans are less than goldfish. That's all we need to know.
Yep.
We need to better ourselves. Just be better, humans.
Just be better.
Just be better. Just focus more.
Focus.
All right, this next one, we were talking a lot about Chris's because Chris Pratt was one of your celebrity best friends.
Yeah.
Outside of Paul Rudd.
Yep.
And I talked about how that was a really divisive opinion because there was a, I don't want to say survey, but kind of where people were voting on their favorite Chris's in Hollywood, but only out of four. And I said Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, and Chris Pratt, and I couldn't remember the fourth one. It's Chris Pine, who has the most beautiful blue eyes.
How do we not think about Chris Pine?
I cannot even, like, what self-respecting person could not remember Chris Pine's as the other Chris?
And he's also in another comic book.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, he's in Wonder Woman.
I mean, he's not in the comic book. He's in the movie.
Yeah, he's in the DC universe, and all the other Chris's are in Marvel universe. But he was also in Star Trek.
He was.
So, how we forgot about Chris Pine, our apologies.
Also, Confessions of a Shopaholic with Lindsay Lohan, if anyone is interested in going back into the archives.
Not that deep.
I mean, it wasn't that bad of a movie.
But
I do love Chris Pine. I am just so upset with myself that I forgot him, but he was the other Chris that I neglected to mention. The next one, the next fact check. I said something about running like a bat out of hell when I was talking about the traumatic Halloween experience in college.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not even sure what that means, when really I think what I meant to say was, I'm not sure where this comes from.
Because we all know it's quickly.
It means quickly. It usually means you're scared. Like they gave the example, he ran out of the house like a bat out of hell.
Quickly.
Very, very similar to what I used when I was talking about running away from the Michael Myers person.
Yes.
On Halloween. Still not really sure where it comes from. I imagine this old man who is kind of like Psy from
Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty, who makes moonshine in his garage and lives in like the Appalachian Mountains, who just randomly one day said something about like a bat out of hell, and it just stuck somehow. Even though no one was around to hear it, it became an idiom that the entire, at least nation uses. I don't know if like, you know, Europe is using it, but
I don't know.
I don't know if we'll ever know where it actually came from.
No, I don't think that's, I think it's one of those things where it's been around for so long and nobody copyrighted it or anything to we can literally look back and be like, oh, well, it actually came back because the copyright right here says, 1908. I don't think that's how that's going to work.
That's why you trademark every amazing thing that you say. Just be like Taylor Swift. Trademark everything. Even if it's ridiculous and everyone always says shake it off. Taylor Swift was not the first one to say that, but yet she was the first one to trademark it. So therefore, she gets paid. Now, time that's in popular media.
You can ask Ashley. You don't want 9 times out of 10 the things that I say trademarked. Because I think they're going to be way too funny. Nobody's ever going to say them again.
You don't know that.
Okay,
but have you ever said them to anyone other than Ashley?
No, because I get no response out of her, so why
She's
would I say
tough
it again?
Audience.
She is.
She's a tough... Send them to
but
me.
If I can make her laugh, that's how you know I'm doing well. If I can make Ashley laugh, that's...
I mean,
I don't
give out laughs for fun. I'm only going to let you know if it's good if it is really good.
Okay, I'll start writing
just
them down.
As a backup. Yeah.
Voice memo to Gina.
She can still be like your number one, like your bae. But, you know, if you want a second opinion on if it should be trademarked or not, just holla at your girl.
I got you.
Okay. This next one. We talked a lot about methane and biomethane.
Yes, we did.
Even though we have no idea what any of them, either of them, really are. So let's start with the definition of biomethane.
Okay,
the short definition. It's also known, it's a renewable natural gas. It's a near pure source of methane produced either by upgrading biogas, a process that removes any CO2 and other contaminants present in the biogas, or through the gasification of solid biomass followed by methanation. So I think that comes from, we were asking like, how is biomethane produced?
Yeah.
We weren't really sure.
I had no idea.
This is what the definition of how biomethane is produced. I still don't necessarily know the details of it, but that's like the overview. But then we talked about, okay, methane gas, is it good? Is it bad? We don't know. I said I would sit in a tub of oranges. You said you probably shouldn't do that. I was like, I don't think it's going to kill me. And we left it at that. I still don't think it's going to kill me.
But at the same time, it's probably not that good for you.
Yes. Okay. So let me read the definition from scientist.
Okay. Yes.
So natural gas, which primarily consists of methane, is the cleanest burning fossil fuel. So when methane is produced from non-fossil fuel sources, such as food and green waste, it can literally take carbon out of the air. So methane produces or provides a great environmental benefit, producing more heat and light energy by mass than other hydrocarbon or fossil fuel, including coal and gasoline refined from oil, while producing significantly less carbon dioxide and other pollutants that contribute to smog and unhealthy air. That is not to say that it's like great for human consumption. So I think it's considered quote unquote relatively non-toxic, but you don't necessarily want to like sit. It's like, okay, unless you were just, and this is not the answer, but if you were having a really hard time, you're like, I'm just going to start up my car and I'm going to sit in it with the windows up and the garage door closed. You don't want to do that with your car or methane.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
One, because you are very loved.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Two, outside of carbon monoxide, methane is similar. So it's not like super toxic. Like you're not going to just like breathe in open air and die. But you don't want to consume a lot of it in a confined space.
Okay.
But also, this also says methane released into the atmosphere before it is burned is harmful to the environment. So, like methane released into the atmosphere after it's burned captures carbon dioxide. If it's released into the atmosphere before it's burned, it's the exact opposite. It can be harmful.
Okay.
So, it's kind of like literally everything else in the world, right? Pros and cons.
Yeah.
There are good and bad qualities.
Depending how you dispose of it depends, you know, which way it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So, no clear answer, like most things in the world, but generally it is better than any other fuel type. It's a natural gas. Generally, it is good for the atmosphere if it is burned before being released into the atmosphere.
I like it.
All right. That's it. That's all I got. That's all the fact check.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week.
Later.
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Two weeks.
I don't know.
All right. Cheers.